Welcome to My Property World, a light and informative look at all things property. We have designed this series for people involved in property and property finance in the UK market. However, we do take examples from all around the property world. Our aim is for us to make money from property together, whether that be buying, selling, financing, trading, or getting involved in a deal in another way. We do this by informing, entertaining, and enjoying ourselves talking property, which gives you a chance to get to know us, what we're up to, and to check us out until you're ready to make money together. In the meantime, My Property World is free and fun, so plug in your headphones and enjoy. We would love for you to like, share, and comment, so please do on social media. And if you have questions, ideas for topics, or deals you would like to explore, we're always looking for guests, so get in touch via the My Property World profile.
Hello and welcome to another episode of My Property World. I'm Will Mallard and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Raj Sharma. Great to have you on the show, Raj.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for having me here again.
So we're going to be talking about a lease extension deal that Raj has done. But just before we get into the deal summary, and we're going to go into lots of details, Raj has a background as a small business owner. He runs a print business in the West Midlands. He's been a property investor for a number of years and a community or network leader for both Partners in Property Birmingham and the BNI network. So great to have you on the show, Raj. Anything you'd like to add, and how could someone look you up if they wanted to know more?
Yeah, thanks, Will. So the best place, I think is LinkedIn. And I mentioned my personal profile last time, which is Raj Sharma. So you should be able to find me there if you look for Raj Sharma Print and Property. But I've also got a company page as well. So that's Brahma Property. My company is called Brahma Property. And that's on LinkedIn as well. And we try to share some property specific content there. So great to connect there if you want to head over that way.
Right, and if you're interested in Partners in Property, the West Midlands meet, or at least the Birmingham meet, is on what day of the month?
It's on the first Friday of the month. So Partners in Property have four locations, and we're first up in the month every Friday. And it's at, if you look up Avery Fields in Edgbaston, which is on Sandon Road, so Avery Fields Sports Ground. We meet there from 9:30 for networking and people often stay there long after the scheduled end of 3 p.m.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. So, Raj, we've got a lease extension deal. What is the property? Where is it? And how did you come across it?
Okay, so, before I started the process of really strategizing how our property company was going, you know, flats and apartments, et cetera, weren't on my radar. I wanted to do HMOs and I'm doing a couple now, but that was the main focus. But really at the start of last year, so the start of 2022, I started looking at, as part of my overall strategy of getting the properties that give us the best return rather than pigeonholing them into certain business models, I came across this deal from a BNI network, BNI contact actually in my BNI network. So, I strictly speaking, I have the print seat in BNI, but obviously I tell people that I'm involved in property, and that's, very, prominent in my social media posts, etc. So the IFA in our group, he rang me up and he said, do you want to buy a flat in Solihull? And I said, I'm interested. Solihull is my hometown. And I guess that's why he sort of rang me. And the flat was owned by a client of his. So the IFA, he has a long-term client who moved to Scotland many years ago. And with moving to Scotland, became an accidental landlord of a flat here in Solihull.
And, very common situation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes,
has a house and or a flat and they move out.
Yeah, I think it's very like you say, very standard story. Person who's born in Birmingham, lived in Birmingham all their lives, decided to buy a flat in Solihull, but then moved for work to Scotland, met a girl there, settled down there, and then suddenly they're left with this flat in Solihull to do something with, and obviously gave it to a local agent. And for about, he bought the property around about 10 years ago and kept the rent sort of same, similar amount throughout these sort of 10 years. Mm-hmm. Had a couple of reviews, you know, just wanted to sell it really. And so I thought I'll have a conversation with him, because obviously it starts off with a conversation. I rang him up and spoke to him. And the really good thing about it was that he already knew of me, so because the IFA had done the introduction. And he said that, yeah, speak to Raj, you know, he'll look after you, was his words. And so, you know, I asked him, you know, a little bit more details. And he said that this apartment was valued at 170 a year ago. And he said, I want 130 for it. And I said, okay. Naturally, my first question was, if it was valued at 170 a year ago, you know, why do you want 130 for it? And so we started, you know, digging into the questions a bit. And it transpired that there was 56 years left on the lease. And so that was after about 5 minutes of questions, chatting.
And that knocks out the majority of potential mortgage products or buy-to-let mortgage products, typically.
That's right. That's right, yeah. And so, you know, when the estate agent had come around to value the property, he said, yeah, it's around about 170. That's what it's worth. But obviously they didn't discuss any lease.
And just before we go any further, I think there's an enormous advantage dealing with someone who's come referred from an IFA. So the independent financial advisors obviously gone through their situation, got them clear on what their options are, and part of that picture is that there's some equity tied up, and it's time to move on. So you're dealing with someone who has had that advice prior to coming to your door, and the fact that was directly introduced by that person, even better.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, as they say in marketing terms, it's a very, very warm lead, you know, so we go there almost knowing the person. I started asking a few more questions, and he had already got a lot of information that was relevant. So he knew how much the lease extension was going to be.
And what is, just paint a picture of what the property actually is, what's around it.
Yes. It's a two-bedroom maisonette. So it has its own entrance, and it has a car parking space, and the property is, so it has its own entrance, and you lead into a staircase. So it's the top floor of this block of the maisonette, and it's a block of six properties like that, sort of up and down sort of maisonettes. And it's in a nice area of just outside Birmingham. So it's on the border of Birmingham and Solihull. The Solihull postcode naturally uplifts the value of it slightly anyway. You know, literally being about 200-300 yards away from Birmingham, it lifts it up. It's close to other developments.
It's amazing how that works. Like one side of the street sometimes with the different postcode, and it changes the value.
That's right. Yeah. And it, you know, it affects other things as well, like insurance and the whole sort of, you know, the whole spectrum of things that a better postcode brings with it. So I was immediately interested. You know, like I said, I hadn't thought about flats, apartments, lease extensions, and knew very little about them. Anyway, you know, I mean, obviously I hang around with people in PIP and some of them who are very experienced at this. So naturally you understand and you know some of the issues, but, you know, I hadn't done it before. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the numbers. So he'd given, and I also went on to an online calculator because, again, I think I picked that up from some PIP posts that I did some research on. And I'm also, as I said last time, also in the boardroom club with Adam Lawrence and Rod Turner. So I ran the deal past Adam as well. So, you know, one of my KPIs every month is to present a deal for analysis to Rod and Adam. So I prepared an analysis of that, and I gave that to, and so I had the added comfort of Adam, you know, sort of rubber stamping it, if you like, saying this looks good. And he knows the area, so he's in the same area as me. And, you know, we sort of had a good idea of end values. We looked at how much the lease was going to cost to extend, you know, from one of these online calculators. and what the actual freeholder was asking for, or should I say the solicitors acting on behalf of the freeholder who had sent the vendor all this information. It tied in nicely with what the online calculators were saying. So it was in the sort of midpoint of where the range that they were coming with. So I was happy with the numbers. And so I made an offer. He wanted 130, and I put in my numbers into spreadsheet calculating what I was comfortable with. And at the same time, something that I thought would be comfortable with was 120. So I offered 120. And I also knew from the IFA and from talking to the vendor that he wanted to get something done quickly. He was desperate for the cash. He needed it for something else quite urgently. You know, mm-hmm. At the same time, I wanted to come up with a number that he would be happy with, and then I would be happy with. And I think that if I'd sort of negotiated more over like a week period or something, I probably would have got it down further. But I was happy with it, and he was happy with it, and it was a number that he needed to clear some of the debts. So it was a win-win, really. And he agreed. Mm-hmm. He agreed pretty much on the same date. So you know, we had like a basis of a deal.
Very good. And so in terms of what was your plan at the point that you made the offer?
So my plan was to extend the lease and get an end value, which I looked at the end value on a couple of sources. First, just sort of my own local knowledge and look at sales, and obviously speaking to Adam as well, we had a number of around about 180, 185 would be the full value of this property, you know, for a two-bed masonette in Solihull. So the idea behind it was...
What was the condition of the property prior to purchase?
Sorry, say that again, Will.
What was the condition of the property prior to purchase?
The condition was good, so we haven't done anything to it. It was a little bit of a mess, so I went to see and also had some videos. So it was a bit messy, but there was nothing wrong with it. There's nothing, if I was to say if the tenant was to leave, I'd probably redecorate. You know, that's mm-hmm. the extent of it. I'd probably give it a lick of paint.
Right. And so there was a tenant in situ as part of the transaction.
Yes, there was a tenant in situ. Like I said, been there for a number of years, hadn't mm-hmm. had a rent review in 7 years. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, you know, was a good tenant, you know, been paying up.
And at the point of offer, what was the rent at, and what were the other sort of fixed charges on the other side, cost wise?
Yeah, so the fixed charges were, there's, I think it's round about £75 per annum on the ground rent. Mm-hmm. And there's the rent is £725 per calendar month. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's, you know, hadn't been reviewed for a while, and you know, we haven't increased the rent yet because we completed on this just before Christmas. But the plan mm-hmm. is, and I'm talking to him to increase that rent to a market rent, which is going to be more around about the £900 mark.
Right, very good.
And, so he was expecting that, and I asked the vendor to have a chat with him about that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he it's not going to come out of the blue. You know, we're talking about that. And
and what was the structure of the purchase?
Okay, so
over what sort of time period? There's obviously been all sorts of things going on in the financial market over the last sort of six or 8 months.
Yes. So I first spoke to the vendor in about July last year. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to, I mean, it still did take till sort of about the end of November for everything to complete, for the lease to extend, etc. So it did take a bit longer than I thought it would. The structure of the deal was that I bought it in one of my limited companies, and we bought mm-hmm. it with a bridge because we wanted to complete quickly on it. So we mm-hmm. Purchased it with a bridge. And that was on the purchase price. So a bridge mm-hmm. at sort of 75% of the purchase price. Mm-hmm. And my joint venture partner, he put in the cash for all of the other things, you know, all of the other things being the our 25% deposit, sort of stamp duty, and the lease extension itself, which was 24,000. and £5,000 worth of legal fees, because one of the clinches on the deal, because I did want to get the deal agreed quickly and to make it painless and stress free for the vendor as possible, I agreed to pay for his legal fees.
Mm-hmm.
So the solicitors who acted for me were the firm. One of the partners is a PIP member, so Gerard Davis. He's a PIP PIP member. Gave me a lot of advice as well, actually, like, you know, on the phone as to you know how to structure it and the couple of different options that I had. And the firm that acted for the vendor were the firm next door to the firm that acted for me. So they dealt with him, and his costs were around about £1,200. But in total, in terms of the everyone's legal fees, were about £5,000 in the deal. That's our costs, extension costs, their costs, and and someone always has an extra bit of costs in there as well. I think it was the lender.
And how long was the bridge facility in place for, or what was it available for?
So the bridge facility is available for 12 months. Just from previous, I mean, I don't expect all of this to last 12 months, but, you know, we don't pay for what we, you know, don't use. And from just previous experience, I don't think I'll ever have a bridge under 12 months again, unless something is a very, very sure thing. It's just that I've gone through that pain of a 9-month bridge before, even though it was during the pandemic, but still it's painful enough for me to always do a 12-month bridge. And this is a sort of pay monthly bridge. So it wasn't rolled up at the start. We're paying for the monthly bridge, which is covered by the rent payments. So the idea is to get this onto a new mortgage as soon as possible, get a lower. You're right that the things have changed quite a lot. You know, since I did the original analysis, I think I had run about 5%. I mean, I always try to stress test a little bit more the end mortgage, but I had 5% in my numbers. And I remember saying to my joint venture partner, I said, I've put 5% in there, but there's no way we're going to be paying more than 3.5-4%. You know, when I first had the conversation, I think it's going to be more like that 5% now.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. And what were the key tips that you'd have for anyone looking at a lease extension deal?
Okay, so the key tip that first of all I'd have is to have some good advisors around you. I mean, obviously, I was very lucky to have Adam and Gerard as well to talk through the deal and get the, because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of pitfalls. You know, this deal was actually sort of very, very smooth. And it was a great first one to do. So I would suggest that, you know, for someone doing their first lease extension, it's good to have one where all of the information is readily available. Like, for example, on this one, there was two options that the freeholder solicitor had laid out all of the options, you know, in terms of what's available. So the vendor could have done a formal, you know, lease extension, you know, he'd been there for more than 2 years. He could have said that I want to do a section 42, you know, and have 90 years added on to my existing lease, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But then the cost of that would have been, you know, A. And what we went for was the B option, where the freeholder said, look, we'll do it on an informal basis. We'll grant a new 110-year lease. And the cost of that is that much. So, you know, that was going to be less than what if we'd done a prolonged sort of claim, et cetera, and some negotiations, et cetera. And I thought it was better to negotiate on the price of the property rather than, you know, trying to get a better deal on the lease extension. So we did it that way. So my tip would be to understand those different things, what the legislation is. There's often talk of this in the PIP community of the pitfalls of it, you know, when there's, you know, an absent freeholder, you don't know what the cost of the lease extension is going to be, you know, there's not no one knows if there's a lease in place or where is it or what are the details. So I think it's a fact-finding exercise first to arm yourself with as much information as possible. And and get some good advisors to do the paperwork.
Right, fantastic. And in terms of the joint venture arrangement, what was the structure of that? Typically, there's a mixture of the expertise, the time, and the money. Who was doing what? What were the splits, and what were the rough terms?
Okay, so one of the things that I did last year was I created a group structure, and within that, there's two joint venture companies. Which sit under my holding company, and they are 50% owned by effectively through, you know, their holding.
And sorry, before we go any further, Raj is a chartered accountant and has been a tax advisor in a previous life. So seek advice before seeing if this applies to you. So
yes, of course, yeah. Yes.
Holding company, two joint venture.
Yeah, so underneath the holding company is my own company, but also two other joint venture companies, and they are co-owned by, you know, one's with my nephew and one is with my friend who I trained with at KPMG, in the 90s. So they're sort of long established, you know, strong sort of relationships. And the agreement is very simple. These guys are sort of busy professionals. You know, so they said, we'll put the money in and you find the deals and do the legwork, basically. So, you know, they are not too concerned about lease extensions or HMOs, you know, whatever is the best, which I think, you know, so it's a bit of a burden sometimes, like, you know, making all the decisions on that front and trying to find the but I've got the time to do that. You know, I specifically have set time aside to do that. And at the end of it, like, for example, if a joint venture partner, like on this, in this example, puts in the money, you know, he doesn't have any sort of interest charges, et cetera, on that money, you know, it ends up owning 50% of that property. And I don't have any management charges, et cetera, for my time, project management, et cetera, you know, I end up owning 50%. It's a simple arrangement. Mm-hmm. And also, one the caveat is that I thought long and hard about joint venture arrangements and had lots of offers from different people, but I really wanted to go with people that I've known for a long period of time where we think similarly. And if I say to him, do this, then he'll do it. And the other way around as well, if he says, don't do this, and I've got a concern about this, and then I'll, you know, I won't say, no, that's not relevant. I'll listen to that as well.
Well, that's fantastic, Raj. So anything more you'd like to add about the deal and what are your hopes in terms of the next year or two in relation to similar things?
Yeah, I mean, if I just sort of finish up on some of these are, you know, like I said, the actual property hasn't been refinanced out yet. But, you know, I've had, like, for example, a desktop valuation done. And I need to do a formal application and evaluation. But we think it's going to be conservatively, the property is going to be worth around about 185, 186,000, which means that if we refinance that out at 75% loan to value, then the bridges get their money paid back. We get another 50,000. And so that 50,000 is money in the pot to either repay back my joint venture partner. My feeling is that it'll be used for the next property project, which means that in terms of this flat, there's £13,500 worth of our money left in the deal. And we're getting round about, you know, so with interest rates at 5%, we're making just over round about, say, £300 on the property a month. Which is, you know, a return on the capital that's employed in there, that return is around about 29%. So it's a good return. And certainly you'd want this as a springboard to do more. You know, it's not a bad deal in terms of the amount of money that's invested in there. And
at a basic level, like you've seen some value in advance that others either didn't see or weren't able to actualize, and you're implementing it. So well done.
That's right. Yeah. And thanks, Will. And you know, the exit is there as well to sell it if we want to, which will probably, you know, generate around about £30,000 worth of profit, you know. So the going forward, it might
be better strategy than a poke in the eye, as they say.
Yes, yeah, and the strategy there would be to maybe, you know, do a few of these a year to hold, and do some in the year to sell, you know, for adding extra capital for indeed HMO projects. So
and Raj, of course, has done another episode. You can look it up in the back episodes where we covered a number of HMO deals, including one that got stuck midway through lockdown.
Yes, yes, that was an interesting time. Yeah, so check out that podcast for when it doesn't go so smoothly.
Right. So just once again, if someone wants to look you up, Raj, what's the best way?
Yeah, so LinkedIn, either Raj Sharma, Print and Property, or Brahma Property is my company page. So LinkedIn, I enjoy sort of doing content there.
Fantastic. And we'll have to get you on the show again soon, or perhaps catch up at one of the Partners in Property meetings in the next couple of months. So
yeah, definitely. Raj Sharma. Hoping to get to London soon to see you there, Will.
Yep. So Raj Sharma, that was fantastic. Great deal summary. I'm Will Mallard. This is My Property World podcast. We'll see you next time.
Welcome to My Property World, a light and informative look at all things property. We have designed this series for people involved in property and property finance in the UK market. However, we do take examples from all around the property world. Our aim is for us to make money from property together, whether that be buying, selling, financing, trading, or getting involved in a deal in another way. We do this by informing, entertaining, and enjoying ourselves talking property, which gives you a chance to get to know us, what we're up to, and to check us out until you're ready to make money together. In the meantime, My Property World is free and fun, so plug in your headphones and enjoy. We would love for you to like, share, and comment, so please do on social media. And if you have questions, ideas for topics, or deals you would like to explore, we're always looking for guests, so get in touch via the My Property World profile.